This week, the study is on Bible study, and we have been focusing on that in your readings at home, in our sermon this morning, and in the Sunday school following. We will look deeply at these words, "I pray to God to know Him." That is the wrong clip. That's funny. That's from them, not me. We'll come back to that in just a moment, but we will be studying the Bible, and we do not pray. That was last week's. I pray to God to know Him, to find direction for my life, and lay my requests before Him. So that was last week's message. Oh boy. Sometimes you get a professionally done thing, and they make mistakes too. I guess it makes me feel a little better. Let's pray again. Father, bless Your Word. Bless us as we come to this study. Teach us, show us, help us see what it is for You to have Your way in our lives as we read about it in the Word, as we look at people who have submitted to Your will, as by Your Word and by our study of it, we submit to You, Lord. Have Your own way in us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we all have different stories about our faith, right? We have different events in our lives, different ways that we've come to faith. Many of us grew up in church. I know Pete and I talk about this often for almost 100 years, Pete. It sounds better when I say 90 years. For around 90 years, Pete has lived in church. He grew up in church, and it's been a part of your life all the way through. And that's a normal experience. That's not uncommon, especially among Presbyterians and mainline believers, Methodists and Catholics, that we grew up in church. Others found themselves in a denomination where they grew up in church, but they weren't hearing the gospel. They weren't clearly being taught about grace and how God has bestowed His grace freely upon them. And so they became serious about their faith by moving from one denomination into another within God's church, but still moving locations to find the truth in the gospel. Others find they have a clear day where, although living in church all their lives, where they took on the reins of faith, where they got active in their faith, where they understood that God was their Savior, that Jesus was their Savior, and that they were following Him in a very significant way. And they can almost look to a date and a time where everything changed for them. And they may have done that even in their own home church. But they began to intentionally follow God. And then some of us are right now, hear me, some of you are right now just going through the motions. Even at this time in your life, you're in church, you're here this morning, but you're just going through the motions of faith. You're not actively engaged in a heart of worship. And then still others of us have had dramatic conversions. Right? And I guess I kind of fall in both categories. We'll talk about that some today. But that dramatic conversion where there is this clear life change that everyone on earth could see. You'd have to be blind not to notice the difference. Where we have this revelation of God's love and we totally change the direction of our lives. And so even there are just those of us who are a mix of all of the above. Right? You could agree in almost with every one of those. And so we have different stories of faith. For me, as many of you know, I grew up in church. I learned about the faith, was active in a local church most of my childhood. And I was in youth group and Sunday school. Sometimes even I taught Sunday school as a child. I sat through many a sermon. Some of them I slept through. Some of them I listened to as a child. And I went through a large number of pastors, actually. I was just thinking about that. At one period in our life, we probably went through a pastor every other year. Sometimes more than one a year. And that was just kind of the way it went. We were in a very small church. I told Julia, I said, you know, the church I grew up in was smaller than this one. She's like, that's small. It was a little church. I mean, just I go back and I'm stunned by how small it is today. Just the physical plan. As a child, things seem bigger. And you go back and you're like, wow, that place, how did we have church in there? And nonetheless, we did. And it was a wonderful place. So I grew up, but then in the early years of my teens, as I actually in the latter teens, 16 and following, I left the church. I left the church. I didn't come back until my mid-20s, around the age 24, 25. I came back to church. And the reality was, I had been exposed to a great bit of teachings about the church. I understood the Bible somewhat. I had a working knowledge of biblical truth. I knew my way at least around the Bible. I had read most of the key stories. I had been exposed to a great deal of the faith. But the actual practical understanding, the actual application of what I knew was not there. It was really seriously limited. And I think the reality is that all of us come at different points in our lives to a point where we recognize the need for Scripture. We recognize that our faith has to have a grounding in something more than my personal desire to know God. That there has to be a mechanism or a source of information that grounds my belief, our belief. And so I think most of us have that experience at some point. Amen? If you haven't had that experience, then I'm praying for you that you will have that experience, that you will understand the need to come to the Bible as your source of information about God. And there is a question that has to be answered for all of us. The Bible addresses it in a manner speaking to a young person. But this is true, I think, of any of us, wherever we are in our growth. And so in Psalm 119, it's very short. Don't try and turn. You'll never get there before I'm done. In Psalm 119, verse 9, it says, "How can a young person live a pure life?" It's a great question. In other words, if you're standing at the beginning of your life and you're looking down the road and you're thinking, I want to live, and let me just put that into modern English, because I think we hear the word pure life and a lot of us think of that as a negative almost. Let's say a good life. Do you want to live a good life? Amen? We all want to live a good life. If you want to live a good life, and I'm telling you, the good life is the pure life. Okay? The good life is the pure life. But how does a young person, you're standing there, you're looking, and you've got to be thinking, I want to live a good life. How do I do this? That's what the Bible gives us. That's the question it gives us in Psalm 119. Psalm 119, the largest chapter in the whole Bible. Okay? It's clearly pretty important. Okay? And actually, young Jewish believers would memorize this whole chapter as part of their training in the faith. Is very much like the catechism of the Jewish faith. And so very important. Now the rest of that verse is the answer. How can a young person live a pure life? By obeying your word. That's the word of the Lord to you. Thanks be to God. And so our key idea this week, not the one up there, but the key idea from the book is, I study the Bible to know God and His truth and to find direction for my daily life. Now, I'm not going to ask you to repeat that because that's a lot of words, but let me read it again to you. I study the Bible to know God and His truth and to find direction for my daily life. And so that's what we're going to talk about a little bit today, is how do we know God through the Bible? How do we know His truth? And how do we find direction for my daily life? We're just going to skim over that. But the short answer is you find these things by reading the Bible. You must read the Bible to know God, His truth, and to find direction for your daily life. That's the answer to the question, how do I live a pure life? It's not a work just for young people. It is a work for all of us. You know, I wish I could have back the decade of my life where I abandoned this truth. You know, I was a young person. I'm not old yet. Some of you think I am. Some of you think I'm still a kid. I'm in that middle ground. But there's a decade of my life where I walked away from the church, turned my back on God, tried to go my own way, to hold to my own path in life. And in a way, I wish I could have that back. In a way, I don't, because that was the proving ground where I learned what a failure I am on my own. And look, that's valuable information. It's valuable information to be humbled, and I was certainly humbled. But in a way, I wish I could have that decade back and I could see what it would be like to spend that time learning the Bible, learning to follow God, and then live my entire life in that way. I'm so glad, however, that I could come back, that you can turn around no matter where you are in life, no matter what path you're on. You can change course by the power of God and His grace and follow Him. And so that was the choice that I did get to make by His grace. And the key idea is literally true. When we read the Bible, we learn about who God is. We learn about who God is. We learn the truth of His works throughout the history of the world. And two, we learn His plans for our lives. God has plans for your life. And they are good plans. If you want the good life, you want God's plans, not your plans. And that's why I say, even though the Scripture clearly says pure life, our concept as Americans is we want to have a good life. And I'm telling you, the good life is life walked with God. Amen? Amen. Okay. So first of all, to build a chain, if you will, of learning about following Jesus, if you want to learn to follow Jesus, you have to study His Word to learn what He wants from you. You have to. If you want to know what God wants from you, read His Word and it will tell you. And so there's a chain of decisions here. First of all, we're going to sing this. We're going to decide to follow Jesus. You've got to make a decision. Are you going to follow Jesus? Is Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior? That's the primary decision. It must be made, or none of this will work. None of it will make any sense. Is He your Savior? Is He, in the words of God, your Savior and your God? In the words of Thomas, speaking to Jesus, right? Thomas wants to put his hands in the wounds, right? He doubts. He has questions. And Jesus says, go ahead. And Thomas falls to his knees and says, my Savior and my God. Brothers and sisters, this is the confession of the believer. This is a life-changing choice. But that life-changing choice, hear me, it is the decision, but to live from that point forward without the Word of God is to live without a rudder. To live as if you're driving a car without a steering wheel. You're going to run into something eventually if you can't turn around. It's not the good life that God has planned for you. So that question has to be followed by another question and then another one. And we've asked this one recently, is the Bible the Word of God to you? We talked about thinking like Jesus, the 10 big ideas that help us to think like Jesus. One of those is the Bible is the Word of God. And you have to answer that. You have to decide, this is the Word of God. This is His Word to me. It's not some words from God. It's not a Word of God that I can interpret for me. It is His Word to me. And so you have to make that decision. We've already talked about that. And then there's another little question you have to ask. Will you do what it says? As we say in AA rooms, and I'm sure other people say it too, read the directions. And if that doesn't work, do what they say. Amen? Can I get an amen from the men in the congregation? Right. We don't read the directions, but hopefully we're doing what they say. No, read the directions and do what they say. And you will have results. And so, the follow-up to that is, will you, and this is the question for today, will you study the Word of God? Will you study it? Will you make a life study of His words to you, of the Scriptures of God? Will you read the Bible? Will it become our source for knowing God and finding direction for our daily lives? That's the question for us today. We've made the decision, I hope, about all those other questions. Jesus is our Lord and Savior. We do believe this is the Word of God. We do believe it holds the directions of life and that we should do what that says. And therefore, brothers and sisters, can we agree that we will study the Bible, that we will read what He has taught us and make it the pathway for our life? I'll never forget what it was like coming back to church. I'll never forget. There's so many different feelings with that. The feeling of being less than, the feeling of being dirty among very clean and pure people. And now that I'm a leader in the church, I recognize that I'm just another person who's a sinner among a room full of sinners. Amen? And we have been clean indeed, and we do look a little more pure, I guess, but it's because of the blood of the Lamb, not my works. It's because Jesus has cleansed us. Amen? And so we hope, in fact, this is one of our hopes, that people will look at us and they will see there's something different about them. But what we also hope is they see clearly a humility that draws them into our presence, saying, hey, we're just like you. The changes you see are not our own. They're the work of a God who loves us, the God of Jesus Christ. And then that person will grow into the knowledge and the belief of the Father and follow Him and likewise want to know His Word. I'll never forget that feeling. I'll never forget that as I began to reopen the Bible, and I knew the Bible better than many people outside of the church, but I got into a Bible-believing church where everyone would seem like was studying the Bible. I know it's not true, but it seemed like, man, these people know the Bible. Right? Monica and I joke about it. We've had the same experience. You'd look at these old, beat-up, battered Bibles, and you think, man, mine is brand spanking new. You can hear it creak when I open it. And there's a point as a new believer, you're embarrassed about that. And now the person with that old beat up Bible is looking at your Bible going, yes! Because they know you're opening words of life. They're excited about that step. But I remember what it was like, and I would read the Bible, brothers and sisters, and it seemed like every time I opened it up, there was something new I would learn. Now, and I know that's not everyone's experience. Because I know many of you have opened the Bible and started reading, and you go, what in the world is that? First of all, check if it says New King James, or King James Version, you need to get rid of that thing. I mean, put it on the shelf somewhere. They're pretty. They look nice. But get you one like the New International Version, or the New King James Version, or the ESV. Chad, don't tell Chad. He made a mistake last week. I don't preach from the ESV. I preach from the NIV because that's the easiest to read. But he's right. The ESV is my secret favorite version of the Bible. And so if you're looking to buy a new Bible, get the NIV if you want to read along with me on Sunday, or get the ESV if you want to study what I'm studying in. That's where I go to study, is the ESV. I just like it. They're all good, though. The versions of the Bible we have out there, there's just a couple, I would warn you, the World Translation. That's not a proper translation. That's a translation that's been made to make specific. They've altered the book. Okay, but that's the only one I can think of offhand. So, I'll never forget. I came back, my life was a mess. All these people look perfect, right? You walk into church, they're all clean, they're all pretty, they're all shiny, and you're all dirty. And you're like, what am I doing here? And then these people start quoting the Bible to you, and you're like, oh my goodness. But the Bible became initially like a fountain of information. Every time I opened it, I learned something new. I'd find myself exposed to it, and immediately it started to challenge my life. And this is what I want you to understand. The Bible should challenge your life. And I don't want to scare y'all. This is me in the past, not me today. But one of the things I learned right away is I was lying about all kinds of stuff. Anybody remember when they were out of church and then they came back in? And you were lying about stuff. And it was usually little stuff. It wasn't like most of us were going around. There may be some of us who are just flat out liars, like swindlers and scam artists and things like that. But there is so much lying that goes on out in the street that when I started reading the Bible and started talking about honesty and living an honest life and being an honest person and telling the truth, I recognized that I was lying all the time. Little white lies, we call those, right? I've shared this story a long time ago with many of you. I'll never forget it. There was a guy, I was doing community service. I mean, I was under court order. And the guy was asking me about it. I was like, well, I wrecked my car, blah, blah, blah. I gave him the short version. Didn't tell him about the high-speed car chase and all that stuff. He's like, well, what kind of car was it? I was like, it was a Cadillac. And it was a Cadillac. Now, it was a Cadillac Cimarron, which at the time was nothing but a Chevy something or another. Cavalier. I mean, it was just a Cavalier with some leather slapped on it. You know, so it was a piece of junk. I mean, the thing was hanging down. The liner was hanging down on the inside. It was a horrible car. But nonetheless, he's like, oh, well, which one was it? Eldorado? Yeah, that's what it was. I'm lying to a guy. We're both in doing community service. All right, we're on probation. Why am I trying to impress this guy? But we do that. Maybe not all of us, but some of us. We lie, just little lies, just a little bit, just stepping ourselves up, just making ourselves look a little better, or trying to avoid a conflict, or trying not to hurt somebody's feelings. And we start telling lies, and they build and they multiply. And the Word of God, this is just an example, convicted me of that. And I had to stop. And then the Word of God talks about our language. It tells us not to use bad language. Not to use idle words. It teaches us that we are created in the image of God. And so one of the things I stopped doing is I stopped cussing. You'll notice I never cuss. I had a hook through my finger once. And I was with a guide, he's a friend of mine, and he removed the hook. I had a live fish attached to the hook while it was attached to my knuckle. Okay, this hurt. Yeah, it hurt. And he removes the hook and he goes, well, I have to say, that is a first. And I said, now I know you've removed hooks before. He says, no, that's the first time I've removed a hook and nobody said a curse word. And I got to understand, there was a pride in that, but it was a blessing to hear that. How God had changed my mouth. And he saw that. And you better believe that he was taking note. That he just saw a pastor not cuss while a wriggling fish was jerking a hook around. Our language affects the way people hear and see Jesus in us. Okay, it does matter. It does. And then I realized my internal thought life had to change because I was created in the image of God. And so I stopped cussing and haranguing myself. Listen to your thought life. If you are hard on yourself, harsh with yourself, the Word of God will teach you not to do that. And pray for the Holy Spirit to help you, and that goes away. If you want the good life, brothers and sisters, you want the pure life. And that is taught to us in the Word of God. The only way to learn these things is to learn from God. I learned about lying. ESV version, Proverbs 12:22. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. It's not a little thing. It's a major thing. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. But listen, but those who act faithfully are His delight. Don't you want the Lord to be delighted in you? If you lead a pure life, if you stop lying, if you act faithfully, if you do what you say you're going to do, you will delight the Lord. 1 John 2:4, whoever says, I know Him, but does not keep His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. You have to know what the commandments are to follow them, brothers and sisters. And so to love the Lord and to follow His ways, I learned I had to stop lying, no matter how small the lie. I had to stop lying to myself. No matter how much I thought I was a loser, God's Word told me I wasn't a loser. And I don't want to be a liar, brothers and sisters, if this is something that separates me from God. I thought to myself, all of it has to go. Our key verse speaks to the way Bible study can change our lives. It's Hebrews 4:12. Hebrews 4:12. For the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. The Word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The truth is that God's Word is living and active. And the question, the rhetorical question this morning is, have you felt its touch? Have you encountered, as you're reading the Bible, its touch upon your life? Do you see God at work through the words of the Bible in your life? You should. And so I want to spend a little bit just talking about the most basic form of Bible study I know. A method any of you can do. Any of you can do this. And it's really so simple, it may be too simple, and I'll apologize to anyone that says, oh, that's crazy. But if you aren't doing this, I would encourage you just to start immediately. The first method, the first step of the method is simply read the Word. Just read it. Just get in the Bible. Now, don't start in Leviticus, right? If you don't know what Leviticus is, that's the one where they dip the branches in the blood and sprinkle everybody with it. You don't need to read that yet. There's a time for that in your life, and there's a time to understand what it teaches, but not out the gates. Okay? Don't probably try and even read Ezekiel. Okay? That's hard stuff. The prophets are complicated. I get it. No, read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Read the book of Hebrews. Read, if you like history, read in the Old Testament, read the history books. Read Genesis. Read Exodus. Read Joshua. Read Judges and books like this that are clear and easy to understand. Read it and see what it says to you. And it'll almost be like that. There will be times where you're just reading along. And all of a sudden, a verse, a passage, a scripture, a paragraph will just jump out at you. And it'll say, pay attention to me. And what I would encourage you to do is just stop. Right there. And read that passage again and again. Saturate your heart with that section of scripture. Listen to what God's saying to you from that particular piece of His Word. And so a normal study will look like this. You start out just praying. Just sit down in a comfortable chair and take out your Bible. Pray before you open the book. God, just bless your Word. Help me to hear from you today. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to me. Just simple words. Whatever comes to your mind, pray to Him about that. And then just sit there quietly. Here's the next thing. Just be quiet. 30 seconds. Stare at a spot on the wall. Don't look at your fingernails, you'll start cleaning them. Don't start with the grocery list. Just be quiet. 30 seconds, harder than you think if you don't do this. And just sit still before the Lord after you prayed, before you read, and then read. Now read carefully. Don't plow through the book. You're not trying to read the whole Bible in 365 days. There's a time for that. That's not the goal. Just read carefully, thoughtfully. Just delve into what it's saying. And as I said, when you come to something that strikes you as interesting, when the Spirit speaks to you and says, stop, when you just have a, hey, I've heard that verse before, just stop there, read it, repeat it to yourself, read it out loud, read it quietly, read it in different voices, just really dig into that. Underline it. Look it up. If you're in your study Bible, you'll have all these little, this book, Bible doesn't have it, but you'll have all these markings on the margins. And what you'll realize is that those markings in the margins are connected to the verses in the book. And you can go to other places in the Bible that connect to that thought. Do that. Follow them. Read the notes on the bottom in your study Bible. Think about the passage. Think about what it means. Think about what it's saying. You could even Google it. Be careful, because there's all kinds of stuff on the internet. But you can even Google it. Listen to sermons on the text that you've discovered. Go to John Piper's website, desiringgod.org or com, I forget which. Go to Matt Chandler's Village Church website, and they have their sermons indexed by Scripture. And you can go and listen to scriptures on that particular text of the Bible. Dig deeper at it. Dig at the phrase. Think about what it means. Look up words in an English dictionary. Slow down and delve into the meaning of the text. And what will happen is you will begin to come across commandments you've never read before. You'll be like, I didn't know the Bible taught that. And then there's a clear commandment that now you know. I need to enact this in my life. I need to take on this behavior. You may realize you're wrong about something. Y'all been around me, I'm wrong about all kinds of stuff. It's okay. What you want to be right about is what God's telling you. You might be wrong about something that you've assumed for years. Maybe the Bible affirms you in some way that you hadn't thought of. Maybe it speaks a positive thought into your life. This happens all the time. I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. That's what God's Word says to you. That's a great thought to have in your heart and your mind. It's no longer I who live, but Christ. You could read in the Psalms and you might come across Psalm 1:1. Great, right out the gates. Listen to His Word. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. That's life advice. That's commandments. It's telling you not to do these things. Don't hang out with wicked people. Don't listen to them and do what they say. Listen to the Word and do what it says. Don't sit in the seat of mockers. Don't mock people. Don't be hard on other people. Be kind. Be gentle. And then it says in verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. On his law he meditates day and night. Meditate on God's Word instead. That person, verse 3, is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. You want the good life? Saturate your life with the Word of God. That's an amazing promise and amazing commandments. It teaches us how to live our life. It teaches us who God is, what He wants to do for your life, and it teaches you who you should be. So many times when reading the Bible, you will find an affirmation just when you need it. Just when you need it. You bring your heart to the Scriptures, God will speak to your heart in ways that will blow your mind. Some days it'll remind us of great truths that we just need to meditate on. Just great ideas and thoughts. It says here, maybe you're having a day of trouble. Hebrews 13:5, love this passage. I will never fail you. I will never forsake you. Isn't that awesome? That's a great word. If you're not reading God's Word, you're not hearing those kind of words. Nobody on the street walks up to you and says, I will never fail you. I will never forsake you. But God's saying that to you. He speaks it in His Word to you. Goes on in another passage, Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything. Who in here has ever been anxious? Hey, double hands up, right? Yeah, everyone. Everyone has been anxious about something. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Look, Mr. Dale's in the hospital. We're going to talk about him. He's not here. Dale, how are you doing? Oh, I'm just so thankful, Bill. What? Oh, I'm just so happy. His people are wonderful. I could have been on the road when this happened. And he, look, that's actually God's advice. Be thankful in everything. And He is. It is a good thing y'all weren't on the road. Amen? I mean, they were packed and ready to go. What if He had gotten sick in the middle of nowhere? Instead, He's at home, at the hospital they love, with the doctors they trust, getting the care He needs. Right? And He's thankful. Now, he's praying to God and he's asking. It says, come to God with your petitions, but come with a thankful heart. That's the good life, brothers and sisters. And it drives anxiety away. Anxiety is so destructive. Many of you know that. Maybe you need a little push just to get out and do your daily work. Some of us are lazier than others. I probably suffer from that more than many of you. But God's Word is clear on this. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. As working for the Lord, not for men. If you've got, I'm not going to make you raise your hand on this. If you've got a crummy job, God is speaking to you right now. He's saying, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord. Forget your boss. Forget your company. You're working for God right now. Work like it matters. Devote your work to Him. And see how that changes your life. That's the good life. It's the pure life. But I'm telling you, it's the good life. And that's the life that's given to you from the Word of God. The more you read the Bible like this, the more it will change the way you think. If you practice these simple patterns that I've just talked about, reading the Bible daily, studying what it says, underlining, applying the things you find that stand out to you into your life, God will be speaking to you on a daily basis. And the more you do that, the more you will experience another promise from the Word of God. This is in Colossians 3:16. It's from the Amplified Version. Let the Word of Christ have its home within you as you teach and admonish and train one another with all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. This should be our church, brothers and sisters. This is what we should look like. Let me read it again slowly. As you think about this, we're applying. This is exactly how I'm talking about reading it. I've read this passage, and wait a second. Let me think about that a minute. Think about our church. Think about your relationship together. Let the Word of Christ have its home within you. That's each one of you individually. Let the Word have its home within you as you teach and admonish and train one another with all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. The Word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I want you to think about a football game. If you've ever been, have you ever seen the wave? I think Obama was doing the wave recently. That didn't go so well for him. But the wave's supposed to be okay. You can do that. Okay? And what happens? There's a synergy. Right? It starts out, one guy's like, watch this. Woo! Nothing happens, right? You ever started the wave? I've started the wave with a group of people who are like, it dies. And then all of a sudden, people catch on, and it's a synergy that happens. And the energy gathers, and everyone starts working together. And next thing you know, you got 80,000 people at the Superdome, and the Atlanta Falcons are losing now, right? Because we are up there doing the wave, right? The same is true when people are reading God's Word. And they're getting Christ in their heart. And someone comes and they have a problem. And you can look at them and say, you can do all things in Christ who strengthens you. Amen? Amen. Something happens when we encourage each other, not only with our own words, but with God's Word. And we share that. And we're strengthened. And we're equipped. And life actually becomes easier, even though it's harder. I mean, our circumstances have not changed. We're all still getting older in here. But we're equipped to face the world. And as people who are equipped with the Word, and we start speaking the Word to each other, we are strengthened to go out and face the troubles that we have. And that is the good life. The life of purity, of following God's Word, of applying His Word to our life, equips you, brothers and sisters, to do His work. And that's what you were made to do. And if you're doing what you're made to do, you're what? Happy. Happy. That's the secret to happiness, is following God. Doing what you were always designed to do. And that life is found in His Word. It's not found anywhere else. As we live our faith together, and each of us study the Bible, we become a community of biblical knowledge that supports one another and supports our larger community. Scripture will challenge us. Amen? But it will challenge us to live the good life we desire to live. It will be a roadmap to being the person God intended you to be. It's not a roadmap to wealth and success. It's a roadmap to the good life. Hear me. Wealth and success can be great, but it is not the good life. It is a life some of us have. The good life is the pure life, following God, doing His will. 2 Timothy 2:15. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. the purpose of the Bible, hear me, the first purpose of the Bible is to reveal God's plan for salvation. The next thing we need to develop is a passion for His Word. And I hope I've made the case for why you would want to do that. These are the ones I look on with favor, says the Lord. Those who are humble and contrite in spirit and who tremble at My Word. That's in Isaiah 66. So here's what you got to do, and I'm going to wrap up with just a few instructions. Select a slot on your schedule and claim it for God. Go home, and if you're like me and you use Google Calendar, stake out a little square, make it a bright color, and say, "This is God's." And give Him that time. Read the Bible prayerfully. Second, read the Bible prayerfully. Ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you. But the Helper will teach you everything and will cause you to remember all that I told you. John 14:26. Read the Bible carefully. Matthew 7:7. Search and you will find. So select a slot on your schedule. Read the Bible prayerfully. Read the Bible carefully. If you do those three things, I'm telling you, it will change your entire life. Three steps. Change your life. Change the way you think. So look, if you're not in Sunday school, I understand schedule presses in. But if you need to make a step towards understanding God's Word better, it happens every Sunday right after worship. If your schedule doesn't allow for that, I understand. That's okay. 5:30 p.m. roughly, we have an adult Bible study right here at the church every Sunday. Just before that, me and the kids are worshiping. Me and the kids will do a study. But at 5:30, we dismiss the adults. We let them go play upstairs. And y'all can go up and do Bible study together. And you can grow in the Word. Tuesday, we have a women's Bible study. Join in that group. Wednesday, there's an ecumenical Bible study. Join in some deeper study of the Word. And also read the Word at home. And you will experience a change. I study the Bible to know God and His truth. And to find direction for my daily life. That, brothers and sisters, is a key behavior of the Christian. Let us pray.